Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Jesus on taxes. Yeah, he had something to say about that. And by the way, I said taxes, not Texas. Trump's apparent plan is to move us from the IRS to the ERS, from the Internal Revenue Service to the External Revenue Service, arguing with algorithms. My fuss with AI over comparing Biden's economic genius to Trump's. Really, you're going to love it. Once upon a Tory, New York likes Britain better than U.S. Will Tulsi catch the mockingbird? She's salting the tail. Dragons are harder to catch. CCP influence in the Pacific has been a U.S. concern for a while. Governor of the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, CNMI, Arnold Palacios, has died suddenly, unexpectedly. They don't tell us why or how. Oh, and by the way, he raised alarms about CCP influence and corruption on his island and in the Pacific. Oh, so this is interesting. Ghislaine Maxwell has been moved to a federal prison in Texas. Well, well. And finally, on Trump appointments, what's the deal here? Trump posted on his Truth Social page a picture of a graph showing the percentage of presidential appointments confirmed by voice vote or unanimous consent during the first terms of presidents beginning with H.W. Bush. So H.W. Bush and Clinton got 98% of their appointments confirmed. G.W. Bush and Obama got 90. Trump 1 got 65%. Biden got 57%. And Trump 2, 0%. None. Not one. And that's with a Republican-led Congress. What in the world is going on here? Anyone have an idea why? I honestly can't even construct a conspiracy that wraps around all of the data that I have on this matter. I don't know what to say about it, but I'm working on it. Maybe I'll have come up with something interesting by Saturday night's Brain Massage Live. Catch me on Rumble, X, FB, LinkedIn around 7 p.m. Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
Jesus on taxes. I said taxes, not Texas. I'm sure you've heard Trump say how nice it sounds, External Revenue Service. I mean, so much better than Internal Revenue Service, right? Trump's apparent plan is to move us from the IRS to the ERS. And it's something that's been remarked upon by many. And many of you, I'm sure, are all for moving from the Internal Revenue Service to the External Revenue Service. Well, let's see how it's going. The national debt is about $36 trillion. Wow. There are, I understand, approximately 131 million taxpaying households. And one source states that, quote, gross national debt per household is a cool $273,914 per. And that's as of July this year. We are expected to reach 133.8 million taxpaying households in 2025. And if you look at this from the total number of individuals paying federal income tax, because not everybody does, the burden is calculated to be around $315,000 to $325,000 per taxpayer based on 115 million people who pay in. Now, this is what the current tax and spend system has produced. Let's see what Trump's tariff model looks like so far and consider the projections of his plan. More than $5 trillion has been pledged, and a little over $2 trillion is considered firm, but you got to think of who's considering it. And that's over and above all other revenues, by the way. Micron Tech has pledged $200 billion and 75,000 jobs. TSMC, that's Taiwan Semiconductor, has pledged, $165 billion. That's up from Biden's $65. An additional $100 billion. Way to go, Trump. Apple's bringing in $500 billion, including supplier shifts from China. That's very important strategically and for national security. Project Stargate is bringing in $500 billion, $1.2 trillion from Qatar. I mean, this goes on and on. I'm not going to give you the full list. I've got some links in my notes that'll take you there where you can look at all of it. $5.1 trillion and 451,000 high-paying jobs, with Trump hinting at the possibility of this going to $9 to $14 trillion. In some of his later speeches, the naysayers, like the Pedicans, they work hard to dampen expectations, or to dampen enthusiasm is what they're aiming at. But even their estimates are in the trillions. So, will Trump succeed to lift the oppression of taxing American citizens off the backs of the children and then distribute it over the backs of the strangers? What's that about? You know, taxes have an intriguing histoire. Did you know that God warned his people that if they decided to follow the example of the heathen in organizing their government around a king, a ruler, that they would come under oppression of government taxation? Yeah, it's in the Bible. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 8. God did not desire his people to be ruled by kings supported by taxes. But they decided they liked that model and cried for a king like the other nations. The prophet Samuel warned them by the words of the Lord, quote unquote, unto the people that asked of him a king. And again, you read about it in 1 Samuel 8. He said, the king will take and take and take and take and take and take six times. He said that the primary characteristic of government that is funded through taxation is they will take and take and take and take. Not one time anywhere in Samuel's warning or in God's warning to the people did he say they're going to give you anything that God wasn't already providing. So he said they're going to take your sons. They're going to take your daughters. They're going to take your fields and your vineyards and olive yards, even the best of them. And he's going to give them to his servants. Oh yeah, think about this. I mean, it's like you're reading commentary on the Obama-Biden regime of oppression. I know, all of them have done this, but those are the two, most of my young ones in the audience, have felt their boot upon their neck. And God wasn't done with their taking. He went on. They will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards because he's got to pay for his administrative employees. And they got to grow that all the time, right? It grew, what, 11, 12% during Biden? Now it's going down the other way under Trump. He's going to take, there's that word again, he's going to take your labor. He's going to take the best of your laborers and the best of your beasts of burdens or the best of your means of production. He's going to take to enrich himself and his friends. He will take the sheep. And then he hints it this way. He says, and ye shall be his servants. 1 Samuel 8, 13-17. That's what government does. It takes and makes you a servant. Trump is the only president I've ever seen who gives. God said you will one day cry out because of your king, which you have chosen. And God warned them, quote, and the Lord will not hear you in that day, end quote. Ooh, that's not good to hear. So anyway, Jesus comes along and he's offering the kingdom to his people, Israel. He's offering to deliver them out from Roman oppression and be their king. And so I ask you to listen very carefully to what Jesus said, his perspective of this whole taxing thing. Peter was asked whether his master paid tribute, and that would be taxes. And Peter said yes. Well, when Peter came into the house where Jesus was, Jesus approached him, stopped him there. It sounds like he stopped him at the door and asked him a question. What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Or in other words, of whom do they collect taxes? And he asked, of their own children or of strangers? Now, Peter didn't say, funny you should ask. I guess he either noticed that Jesus overheard the conversation or he had become accustomed to the Lord knowing what was going on. But Peter said, of strangers, not of the children. You see, in that system, if you were a child of a king or a governor or some ruler, you did not pay taxes, nor did your family or your children. So Jesus says to Peter, then are the children free? And it wasn't a question, it was a statement. Then we would say it this way, then the children are free. So the question was, who pays taxes? And Jesus established that the children are free. Okay, well, so Peter says, who didn't know that? Right? Wrong. No, Peter understood exactly what Jesus was getting at. Jesus knew that Peter had been asked if Jesus paid taxes. Apparently, Jesus and Peter's taxes were either overdue or due and had not yet been paid, obviously. These guys had reason to think that Peter, or at least that Jesus, had not paid his taxes. Now, perhaps they worked for CNN, and they were looking for something to pin on Jesus. Yeah, that's a full-time job for these guys. So they asked the tax collector whether Jesus had paid his taxes. They checked his records. So that's why they came with their camera crews and microphones, and one of them stuck a microphone in Peter's face, hoping to get a gotcha moment for the Jerusalem Post Evening News. Or maybe they were Jewish rebels against the Roman interference in their government, and they were hoping to spark a rebellion, a tax revolt. Anyway, underlying Jesus' answer are some very profound assumptions. Now, this is understood by what Jesus says next, quote, notwithstanding, end quote. Now, that's an important word. Notwithstanding, lest we offend them. And then he instructed Peter to go fishing and get a coin and pay his taxes. But anyway, notwithstanding. Now, that's important. He didn't say, but since we're not children, we're obliged to pay our taxes. That's not where he went with this. And it's really profound. Jesus set this up to say that he, that is Christ, is king. We are the king's children. We are children of the Heavenly Father, children of the kingdom. This kingdom ruled by Christ is above all the kingdoms and rulers of the earth. We are the children. That's the point he's making. However, or notwithstanding, again, not, but we are not the children who are free of the burden of taxes. Rather, the assumption here is clear that we are the children, notwithstanding that truth, because I don't want to offend them by asserting my authority and privilege as king, and those, the children of God, their privilege of being the children of the Father, the owner of heaven and earth. Here's what we're going to do, Peter. You go fishing, and the first fish you catch is going to have a coin in its mouth. You take that coin and go pay your taxes and mine. So, here we are, obliged to render, therefore, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, or that is, taxes to whom taxes, and that's in Romans 13:7. That's the New Testament policy of the kingdom of God. One would expect, however, if a nation comes under the rule of Christ and is governed by him and honors him and his laws, we would expect the burden of oppression would lessen. Relief is coming. We need to go into full-blown revival and just find out how free we really can be. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Most believe Satan owns the world and has the right to rule it. They think Christians should leave politics to unbelievers, that believers have no place in government. Well, Christians, how's that working for you? You see, the fact is Satan has fed you a lie. Satan depends on Christians staying in the dark about the fact that Jesus Christ defeated him, and Satan has no right to rule one square inch of territory on this planet. Learn the truth. It will set you free. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing The Enemy is on the March, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Once upon a Tory, now that's where we'll go right now. Many of you know that the Tories supported King George of colonial Britain days. The Tories were concentrated in New York City. They just loved that old oppressive king, that whole monarchy thing. And those New Yorkers, friend, it was like pulling teeth to get them to do anything to support the effort to make America free. That's just the truth of their history. Now, that doesn't apply to everybody there, but that's the history of that state, of that colony. There was just something in the dirt of New York City, I think, especially, that resists liberty and gravitates toward tyranny. London today is New York's tomorrow. The Tories are still here following London. In Britain, women abused as children by Rotherham gangs say police also sexually assaulted them, quote unquote, with a link. I've got it all linked here for you. Now, here's Charlie Kirk's summary. Quote, incredibly disturbing new details out of the UK reveal that not only were countless little girls raped by migrant grooming gangs, say radical Muslim gangs, but when they went for help, many were raped again by the police. Take one guess who was staffing the police departments, end quote. What is with these perverts and pleasuring themselves with little children? Man, is this a, what is going on? And Kirk goes on here explaining authorities ignored migrant grooming and rape gangs because persecuting them might lead to accusations of racism. And that's more important than protecting those little girls. What a bunch of devils. They are as perverted as these perverts who have hurt these children. Victims of Pakistani rape gangs who went to the police were instead raped again by the police themselves, who were of Pakistani origin. What is going on? In other cases, police leaked the accusations of victims to perpetrators who then threatened the victims. Judges in Islamic rape cases have allowed defense lawyers to spend entire trials calling grooming gang victims sluts, and then denied the release of court transcripts as an effort to hide that this was going on in the court. The government is currently weighing, talking about UK right now, the government currently weighing a formal definition of Islamophobia that would include linking grooming gangs to Islamic immigration. Well, that's where it came from. Local governments are hiring Sharia law administrators. What? Mass censorship is used to cover up protests against this, as well as criminally punish those who complain. Okay, so Charlie Kirk concludes with an interesting question. Is Great Britain just a gigantic Epstein Island? Good question. Will Tulsi catch the mockingbird that she's salting? Project Mockingbird is a known CIA operation. It was put together in the early 60s, 1963, I think. And the operation was that they would, without a warrant, wiretap American journalists. I think it was Robert Allen and Paul Scott who refused to reveal their sources. Now, Operation Mockingbird is an unofficial, rumored CIA program that one might say expanded on the Project Mockingbird theme and turned it into a full-scale assault on freedom of the press and freedom of speech and weaponization of the media to protect the interests of the established government. Tulsi never directly named Operation Mockingbird, but she confirmed ongoing CIA activity that is identical to what is identified by us as Operation Mockingbird. Tulsi said, quote, there are people within the intelligence community who believe that their will is more important than the will of the American people, and they will weaponize intelligence by leaking it to their friends within the mainstream media, end quote. Now, this gets pretty deep, and I'll need more time to touch bottom on it than I have here. So here's a link you'll love hating. Brennan unwittingly revealed the rationale for CIA operations like Mockingbird. I'll summarize it, and you can see the details in this video. He explains that foreign intelligence agencies actually depend on our intelligence gathering, and if they got the idea, say, discovered that our intelligence was politically influenced, well, they would not trust it, and that would be a shame. So you see, you have to hide that. Mr. Brennan, you are a shame. And if justice prevails, you're going to jail, sir. Dragons are harder to catch than mockingbirds. CCP influence in the Pacific has been a U.S. concern for a long time. The governor of the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, CNMI, Arnold Palacios, has been raising alarms about CCP influence and corruption on his island for years. In a letter lately addressed to the United States FBI, he pleaded for agents to be sent who would come to investigate the CCP corruption on his island. He said, come on, I'll open the books. I'll give you full access. Here are a few things that I find concerning. American politicians are connected with a Chinese casino on the island. James Woolsey, former director of the CIA, was on the board of a Chinese-owned and operated casino. Okay. Former director of the FBI, Louis Free, remember him? Former Louisiana Governor Haley Barbour, you might remember that name. Former Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell. All of these American politicians served as advisors to the board of a Chinese casino on a Pacific island. Now, what are American governors and FBI directors doing connected to a Chinese casino on a Pacific island? We are right now building out an airstrip on Saipan. Well, I'm not sure they are in viewing distance of the newest CCP casino that is, yes, being built on that very historic island, Saipan, the World War II site of one of the most, if not the most, significant Pacific battles in World War II. Currently rebuilding landing strips there, ostensibly in preparation for a possible war with China. Anyway, for an in-depth look at the significance of the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands and the recent puzzling death of its CCP-opposing governor, you can take a look at this video report linked in my notes. So now I'll conclude this with a warning from that former governor of the island. In a 2023 meeting with then U.S. Secretary of State Blinken, you know, Biden's guy, Governor Palacios warned the United States of, quote, CNMI's, quote, historic acquiescence, end quote, to Chinese influence, including by, quote, corrupt politicians, end quote. Now that was Biden's Blinken. You got to think about that one for a little while to really get the entendre that's intended here. I got to conclude. So this is interesting. Ghislaine Maxwell has been moved to a federal prison in Texas. Well. And this comes 1 week after a two-day meeting with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche. Word is that Ghislaine named 100, well, let's just call them persons of interest for the present, who are named in connection with our interest in getting justice for the victims of Epstein's trafficking operation. Was she moved for security reasons? Well, the move is from a low-security prison in Tallahassee, Florida, to a minimum-security prison camp in Bryan, Texas. So apparently there isn't concern that she's blown the whistle and therefore likely to be offed. The description comparing the prisons suggests this is an upgrade for Maxwell. Many are piling on, bawling about Trump giving Ghislaine an Epstein sweetheart deal. Now watch out, for an even Satan can transform himself into a supporter of Trump. I do have questions about Bondi's assistant, AG, going alone to interview Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, understand, she initiated this and stipulated conditions. Perhaps this arrangement was part of the settlement. And perhaps the AG had reason to be concerned about what Maxwell was up to here and did not want to provide to her a platform that she could use to launch an attack on Trump or any other innocent person. I mean, it's hard to know who you can trust. Remember Trump 1.0? Well, Trump 2.0 is a whole lot more savvy about how this game is played. Remember, Maxwell is a perverted, twisted pedo. She sold underage girls to the perverse lusts of powerful men. We now have reason to believe she participated in planting that stupid Trump birthday letter to Epstein that we all know was not written by Trump. She was Epstein's pimp. She was his chief executive procurement officer, identifying and recruiting quote-unquote talent, no doubt banned from the property along with her boss. However, she really is our best resource for getting justice against the thousands they abused. By giving the information she has on these 100 people, well, she transfers the threat. Because now, killing her won't stop the information from getting out it's out. It actually lessens the threat to her life. Most of these sophisticated murderous pedo types will expose themselves for protection, but not for revenge. Perhaps that's why she can be safely moved to a less secure facility. I'm just trying to figure this thing out. No one has told me why she was transferred. It looks like a reward for good behavior or for cooperation. Well, we'll see. It does not seem likely, after all the brouhaha that boiled up over the effort to shut the case on Epstein, that the AG now would do something like this unless she got something truly useful from Ghislaine. And by the way, did you notice that Ghislaine began to sing soon after Trump began sending a signal that he was about to dismiss the issue? Isn't that interesting? Surely the Trump administration would not risk giving Ghislaine the Epstein sweetheart treatment. That would explode in their faces. Trump was lately asked if he would consider giving Ghislaine a pardon. What's that about? Axios, a beloved Bidenista organ, jumped on his response saying, quote, Trump won't rule out pardon for Ghislaine Maxwell, end quote. Now you've got to be kidding me. And consider the source. And when you watch the exchange with reporters, Trump did not say he would not rule it out, but he did ignore the question. And we've been watching Trump. We see how he operates. There must be something really big in the works for him to almost purposely dangle this pardon thing out there. It does not seem to be a winner for Trump. So for the present, we'll say Trump answered the question with, I haven't thought about it. No one's brought that up. And then turned to another reporter while the question was being tossed out there. And it seemed to me as an entrapment little thing, almost hoping for a non-answer to get the headline, Trump won't rule out pardon for Ghislaine Maxwell. And I think you can bet these guys say, here's the headline you want, go get it. Assistant to the AG, Mr. Blanche, described his meeting with Ghislaine as, quote, very productive, end quote. What does that mean? Well, look, we already know that Trump is not a pedo. We already know he never went to the island. We already know he despised Epstein, kicked him out of his limo, and made him walk home type of disdain for this dude. We already know all that. We know Ghislaine isn't going to be trusted by anybody to protect Trump. Good night. The pedo queen was arrested in July of 2020, friend, when Biden was president. She was convicted in December of 2021, and you know who was president and who was in control then. If she had anything on Trump, does anyone think she could not have leveraged that for a sweet Epstein deal? God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. See you in
your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.